listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284AL Holly Eva, and it is always hard to pod down, brother is. This is Felicia, and you are listening to Kauai Soapbox Live.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So again, this is Felicia on Kauai Soapbox Live, and Eric Cannon will be joining me too. But in the studio, I have the blessing of two West Side guys. I have Clayton Kubo. Clayton, can I see that you're mic'd up? Say aloha.
Aloha.
Oh, yeah, he's there. And Wendell.
Aloha.
Say your last name one more time for me.
Kabutan.
Kabutan. Okay. Well, I wasn't saying it quite right. So, there's a lot to talk about this week. We're going to bump into many different topics, but definitely one that is very important is our Bill 2491 that did get passed, and these guys literally live right across the street from the impacts of Pioneer, right? That's Wendell, you live across the street from Pioneer?
Yeah.
And so I was talking to you the other day, and with Bill 2491, and it has been really pretty strongly weakened to where it is mostly just a disclosure bill and a little bit of a buffer zone. I don't know what kind of buffer is between your house and the fields right now. Will you get any more space or same?
Well, I'm just guessing, but I might be 7,500 yards away from the fields.
Okay, so that's like 300 feet.
Yeah.
So maybe you might get another couple hundred feet.
Yeah, would be nice.
Would be nice. But
I don't think we can actually stop the pesticides and the dust from coming over the cliff, because when the trades are blowing, there's no stopping it. It'll go.
It goes a lot further
miles,
than 500
yeah.
feet. Yeah, we've been seeing all these pictures on the internet, the dust devils and whatnot. Is that pretty accurate? I don't live over there. You see the dust devils coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for people, when they're saying people will lose their jobs over this, that for me, I can't understand how that would be. Like, when they're just disclosing, it's basically just revealing the truth about what they're doing, right? Do you see any way that this will shut down jobs?
In the long run, it might.
And how would that be?
Well, if, I guess, the county and the state and the federal want to prove, well, the seed companies want to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there's a link to cancer, birth defects. And I think the medical community is going to come up with more conclusive evidence.
Mm.
And if that happens, then there's going to definitely be a loss of jobs. But, you know, there has to be soil remediation and stuff like that. So there might be able to be hired to do that work.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you feel pretty confident that once these chemicals are revealed, that there will see some linkage. Like, your wife has cancer, yeah?
She had, yeah, double positive, estrogen positive breast cancer. And she started chemo January 3rd, 2012, so it's recent.
Mm.
And you know, they seem to have got it all, but...
So our prayers are out there for that. And then the double estrogen, that's what you called it, that is linked to atrazine.
Atrazine. According to Dr. Tyrone Hayes, when he came to Waimea, he linked it definitely to estrogen positive is tied to atrazine, according to his years and years of research.
So if it was triple that amount,
she'd be dead.
She'd be dead.
There's no sense even taking chemo.
And then other people on your street have cancer too?
Yeah, across the street and, you know, over the last few years, two houses down, mother and daughter, both. The mother died already. The daughter was in infusion with my wife at the same time. In the back of me, a lady died in her garage by choice of cancer. Two houses down, husband and wife, both had cancer. The wife already passed. The husband has cancer now. And in the valley, on and on, husband and wife both pass away. So it's just too many people.
And are you a part of that lawsuit?
Yeah.
You're on the list.
I'm kind of thinking if, you know, I'm trying to move, so I don't want to be coming back and giving depositions and stuff. So since they're just doing the real estate portion of it right now, I may just, you know, opt out after that. Because it's going to take a long time. It's going to be difficult to prove.
And you have asthma also?
Yeah, as a child I used to have to go to, I used to live in LA, and I used to have to go to Waimea. For
hospital
emergency treatment, yeah, for my asthma. Then I kind of outgrew it, but more recently, now that I look back and I have more knowledge and more information, my doctor maybe thought I had sleep apnea or something because I used to have difficulty breathing at night. And but that never did pan out. The diagnosis may have been in error. And about maybe 2.5 years ago, I actually had to go to ER in Waimea, and I was in the ICU for 3 days. I could not breathe. And that was after I had come back from North Carolina. And my first day back at home, just couldn't breathe.
Was there evident dust that day, or is it being back from the moisture? I mean, how long were you in North Carolina?
About 2.5 months.
Okay, so it wasn't that you weren't used to the climate here. It's not like you were there for 2.5 decades. It was just a short time over there.
Yeah.
So,
but my first day back and I can't breathe, something's wrong. And, well, they thought it was maybe my heart, or so they sent me to Oahu, and they gave me the dye test, and they put the camera up my
stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they found nothing. Zero. And the doctor told me, wow, we spent these thousands of dollars giving you all these tests and there's nothing wrong with you. It's like, it's not my fault. I don't know. You know, it's just I couldn't breathe for 3 days. I was in ICU. And
so it might have been, we're speculating, maybe a chemical reaction to things.
I think so.
So since then, you have moved out of your house, right? That house is sitting empty?
Well, 3 weeks ago, I had another problem with breathing again. But I kind of, you know, I felt it coming on because they were spraying the fields a lot and I was already having difficulty breathing again. So depending on the poisons that they use and the quantity, I have a breathing problem. And so I had to go to ER again. And it's a long story, but they couldn't find anything again. And they told me to take this medication, go home, and the medication would help my lungs open up. Didn't work. I called the ER doctor back, and they couldn't do anything. I asked for a pesticide test, and I was told there is no pesticide test that we can give you. So I went to, I don't know if it's Aloha Beach Resort, for the night. Next morning, I flew to Honolulu, and I just came back recently.
So when you went to Aloha Beach Resort, did you feel better?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could breathe there.
And then, so last night you stayed in Koke'e?
Yeah, since I came back last Monday, I've been in Koke'e every night.
And how are you doing up there? Are you breathing?
Good, yeah. When I come down in the day and I do some work, you know, sometimes I get a little tight in the chest.
Come down to where? Come down to Waimea?
Yeah, in my house. Because we're packing up.
Because you're going to try to sell it.
Yeah.
And you're having difficulty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fatigue, you know, my chest gets tight. Then when I go back to cocaine, then
you're fine.
Past a certain point, and things open
so,
up.
We spoke a little bit before this show, so that's one of the reasons I invited you on. You are experiencing some trouble marketing your house.
That's going to be a problem too, yeah, because I have to disclose the pesticide and dust problem, because we have a dust problem also, which is what the lawsuit is working on, damage from the dust problem. And
so have you asked Pioneer to buy your house? I mean, that would just be my recommendation. Ask them to buy the house, and we know that they know that there is no harm coming from their field, so maybe they could even live in it. I mean, maybe they could buy your house,
well,
and they could put
nice.
their staff, or maybe they could put people in it that are on their support list, you know, people that they help out and are supporting them. Maybe they could live in those houses, because it seems like they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no toxicity coming across. So they could say this is all in your mind and your neighbor's minds. We have another neighbor here. It's all in your mind. So they have confidence. Perhaps they could buy the houses and they could move in. Would you feel guilty selling your house to somebody?
If I disclose and they exercise a free will choice based on an informed decision, that's up to them. But, yeah, I guess if they're not asthmatic, it might work out for them. But for me and my wife, we're both chemically sensitive, I guess. So we just don't want to risk our lives anymore. It's just not worth it.
And Clayton, you look like the picture of health. How do you feel?
Another picture of health. You know, there's times that I stay home, kind of tired, I feel. And I don't know what else to say to these guys already. Been talking to them for many years now, and they seem to not get it. That they seem to say that their operations are not doing anything to people, that cannot harm people, cannot harm the environment, cannot harm the animals, cannot harm the fishes in the river and the oceans. You know, I don't know, maybe one Pioneer guy should call into them and talk to me about this. I don't know what else to say.
How is, do you have asthma? Do you have cancer? Do you have anything? I mean, you
Oh, I hope not.
You
I
look
hope
good.
I don't have no cancer. But who knows, right?
And your boy? How's your boy?
My son, he get his moments. I kind of like stay away from that, Felicia.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys live right next to each other, right? You're side by side?
No. I'm about 50 yards now.
Okay.
Up.
And so up makes a difference, because down you get more?
From 1998, the lower Waimea, I guess you can call it, was getting impacted from 1998 until now. And then as the fields got higher and higher, went, you know, meaning Mauka, then the upper side started getting impacted.
And then your house, Wendell, is also covered with dust, Clayton's?
We haven't opened our windows for years. We shut everything down, took out the air conditioners, only have one air conditioner now, and all of our appliances are in plastic bags, because so much dust comes into the house, even with the doors closed. You have to constantly clean, and we're getting older, and we just cannot keep up. Same with the automobiles. We just gave up.
They get ruined.
Yeah, and then books and stuff get all dusted, so we just put them in plastic containers.
Is your wife listening right now?
Supposedly live stream.
Yeah. What's her name?
Wanda,
hello, Wanda. So Wanda is, and you can call in too at 826-7771, as can others, and off island 866-275-1111. 1-2. I know we have listeners from Hawaii Island, and at the top of the hour, we're going to shift a little bit and speak somewhat to what is happening for those folks there, too. Their Bill 113 says just no GMO to come to the island, and it was somebody put really very eloquently that once it's here, then you're doing something like just begging to be told what's being sprayed, not being able to in any way really control their behavior. I think for me, that's the part that when I look at the mayor taking so much fear in how do we implement this, I shouldn't speak for him, maybe it's not fear, taking so much time in signing this bill, which is a little hard for me to understand because I know that they know what they're spraying. The companies, they keep really meticulous records. So it isn't asking that much. It's not like all of a sudden they have to go out and figure out how to track it. They track it. That's part of their science. In fact, that's what they're saying is the reason they don't want to give up their recipe is it's part of their whole strategy for making things work. So when they use this area as an experimental research piece, you take meticulous records. So to be able to put it up, put it online, to turn the information over, it doesn't seem like it's asking for a tremendous amount. I know, and if Louisa Wooten is listening, she could call in. Even the buffer zone management is not that difficult to be able to be managing. And I'm really happy that George Costa is going to be meeting with her. And George Costa is going to be meeting with her and being able to speak to her and them, you know, to be learning how can we be managing this without too much effort. And it really can be that there are third-party auditors that these companies could hire, come in, look, so that they're paying the cost. It's not adding to the county. And so I have a lot of confidence that we're going to have some really positive outcomes. And we have all these lawyers that are willing to do some work for us for free. We do have a caller, and I also want to give a shout-out to Maui that's listening right now, too. Aloha, you're on the air.
I'm sorry, is it me?
Yes, it is.
Hi, my name is Christy Owen. I also live in Waimea Valley, so I just wanted to call in. Clayton and Wendell are my neighbors, and I would just, you know, basically like to solidify most of what they've said. My house as well is just filled with dust. I have three children who go to the schools out here and have been concerned about this for a long time. So,
are you on the lawsuit?
I'm on the lawsuit, yes. Yes, I am.
And have you thought about moving?
Of course you think about it. You know, it's this is our home. I love the West Side. I mean, I don't feel like I should have to move, but yes, we've thought about it. I don't know who would want to buy my house. We'd probably just let it go.
Because I've been speaking to lots of different people that are in that position, and I've heard the whole range. Like, definitely people say, we're not leaving, they're leaving, right? That they don't want to be driven from the neighborhood over it, but also inability to sell the houses. I did have one woman who was a really great teacher at Chiefs, and she started to get cancer, and they could barely afford to sell their house, so they ended up having to move to Colorado because there was nothing on the island that they could afford for what they could sell their house in Waimea.
Right, and obviously the prices are just going to keep plummeting with everything that's going on out here. I mean, we're already, this community is, it's kind of a dying community. I mean, basically the seed companies have kind of, they've surrounded us, and, you know, I just feel like they're keeping out a lot of, you know, families that might move here, things like that. So, you know, you just, I can't imagine trying to sell my house. I don't know what I could sell it for, you know, so.
Do you keep your windows closed?
You know, during the day we do when we leave. I mean, it's really hard. It's so hot out here. It's impossible to keep your windows closed all the time. But the amount of dust, I think, is just, incredible. I go to other people's homes, friends' homes in Kalaheo, even Kekaha, and it's just such a noticeable difference. It's just unreal. And I think it got really bad from about 2008, 2009 till, you know, till about a year ago. It's kind of slacked off a little bit now, but the damage on your house and trying to, like Wendell said, keep anything nice is hard, you know. So.
And how is your health and your children's health?
My health is fairly well. My middle son has gotten nosebleeds since he was 2. Pretty chronic nosebleeds, so that's always kind of been a concern. My youngest has asthma, and my husband also has asthma, and I think between about, you know, in the year of probably around 2009, I think I took him to the emergency room about 3 different times because he just couldn't breathe, you know. My kids come home from school and complain that they had a headache all day at school, stomach ache. I think it's just so hard. You try to do the best you can to be a good parent, but then you still have that feeling in the back of your mind like there's something beyond your control, you know, that's happening here. And I think, you know, what we're trying to do is just find out what if it's connected to that, then we should know as a community. So.
Well, that is, I mean, I'm really, I don't even know what to say. I'm sorry that you're going through that, and I appreciate the call in. I have seen that a lot of the government reaction from the portion of the government that feels bridled and saddled by the passage of this bill says this is a North Shore issue. So I appreciate that the West Side is speaking and calling. And
well, I'd like to make that comment because I think it's so important. You know, they're portraying the West Side as being only ag, and we're not only ag. We're not 600 jobs. We're a whole community, you know, with a lot of people concerned. A lot of people don't want to talk out, but there are a lot more that are starting to. But there are so many people concerned about this. We had about 150 people at a sign waving event on a Sunday. Taro farmers, teachers, you know, you name it, they were there. So we're not just ag out here, you know. We want a little bit more for our community than that, and we want to be protected. So,
well, thank you so much for
calling in. Okay, mahalo.
Mahalo.
Thanks, Christy.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Christy.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha. My name is Carol Hart, and I live in Kekaha, and I'm friends with all of the people there. I've been on the West Side since before Aniki, and like Christy was saying, it's a very special community. When my husband and I moved out there before the hurricane, he came home one day and he said, God, my arm hurts. And I said, why? He said, from waving at everybody. And that's the kind of community it is. And we definitely are getting the short end of the entire island. We have the dump in Kekaha. We have a toxic site in the middle of Kekaha, the old mill site, and we are surrounded by these fields that are being sprayed continuously. And my husband and I are both very healthy people. I always have been. He has survived mesothelioma, which is asbestos lung cancer. And we have been in great health until very recently. I'm feeling my sinuses inflamed constantly, and he's starting to cough. And it's very worrisome to us. You know, we have cornfields just Malka from our neighborhood. There's a lot of people, a lot of children in our neighborhood, and the incidence of asthma has always been high out there. Even before the corn came. However, I worry because I'm a healthcare practitioner, and I worry about my community and my friends. And one of my dearest friends had to leave. She lived in Waimea Valley, and she's part of the lawsuit. She was sick all the time. Her dog was sick. She left. She got healthy. She's visiting me right now. And she drove by the fields on her way back from Lihue yesterday, and she came into my house, and her eyes and everything on her face was red because she's sensitive to the chemicals, ultra sensitive, like Wendell is. And I just, it's unbelievable to me that the mayor has not signed the bill. You know, it just, I think everybody who has any hesitancy should come out and live on the west side.
That's right. Come out and live on the end that is being blasted. I don't think you guys going to like it. You know, need, you guys want proof? Then come and live over there. Then you guys going to know. We're not just talking because we like talk. You know, I'm not just doing this for many years for just because I like attention. Not even. I get better things that I can be doing. Way better things. You know, this is madness, I going to say. This companies are just blowing us and don't even, they think that they're right. Unbelievable. Carol, thank you for calling, yeah?
Yeah, and I'd also like to add, Clayton, that, you know, because our community is so full of aloha, that, you know, this divisiveness, I have chosen never to wear a red or a blue shirt because I don't believe in the separation. I believe in unity in Lokahi. And, you know, my neighbors work for these companies, and I love my neighbors. And this wedge that's being driven in our community just makes me so sad because, you know, they do need jobs. But my vision is that we have farms where we grow food for the people of this island. The Mana Plain is incredible soil. It needs to be remediated before food can be planted. But we have awesome soil. We have so much sun, and there used to be a lot of water. I'm not sure where it went, but there can be again. We can create farms and clean jobs for our community and healthy soils, healthy water, and healthy air. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I have another one holding. Okay. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha. I just wanted everyone else to remember not only the air, but all of the drifts that go into our coral reefs and into our waters. And one more thing that these companies are conspiring and have conspired to divert a lot of the water, which is killing a lot of the o'opu, which is a native Hawaiian endangered species. So that's another, you know, tidbit. And thank you from the company.
You're welcome. How do you guys feel about 2491, that even if it is passed, does it give you guys any hope or comfort, or does it feel like it's just not enough?
My opinion is it's not enough. It's a temporary Band-Aid and a solution, and there should be some progress, but it'll be slow coming, you know. It's going to be 9 months before any action will be taken.
Hello, aloha. Can you turn your radio off, please? How are you now? Yeah, thank you. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'm so glad I got in now because you touched on everything. About 2491, I think it's great the way everybody came together. But now's a good time, I think, for the counties of Hawaii to join forces and go for an all-out ban. Another thing I'd like to let people know about is that there is a bill in the Senate, the Farm Bill, I think it's called, that has certain amendment to it that would take away the state sovereign rights to control its agriculture, so, which is another Monsanto Protection Act in disguise, and piggybacking under the guise of the Farm Act.
So is this Farm Act a national Farm Act?
Yes.
And real quick, I need to say you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. So go on about this farm bill.
Well, I I'm not the details person. I'm just
Do you know
saying.
The number? Like, so if we were looking up what the... Are you saying it's in the Senate or in the House? It's in the Senate?
I believe it's the Senate, yeah. But I'd have to go back and reference my research to give you those numbers. I just don't have them. If somebody can look them up, they can find them like I did in the first place. But, yeah, we should all know about this. And I'm like, the 2491 was good for bringing the issue of four, but... If we could all unite as the counties, you know, and put pressure on the state that this is what we want. We don't want them taking our sovereignty, you know, and constitutionally, the feds are not supposed to be able to do that because they're just taking powers that haven't been given to them, and the state has the right to give them or not. And we don't want our state to give away our rights. I mean, that's just crazy. But,
well, there's... Go ahead.
I would like to see, since the mayor wants to drag his feet on this, actually, we really need to go for an all-out ban because of everything everybody's been talking about up to now. You know, all of our ecosystems are being endangered by this poison. And this political, whatever it is they're doing, isn't getting it. It isn't doing what needs to be done. We're not being protected. Nobody's getting protected. And they want to expand, you know. And I'm like, no. I've had a nose sore since I got around the people that were at the meeting that worked there. I don't know if I picked something up, but it won't go away. And it has me a little concerned. You know, I mean, I never had a problem like that before. So we don't know how widespread and far-reaching all of these noxious poisons that they're just dumping over here in Paradise. It needs to be banned. If they could do it on the Big Island, by God, we could do it in Kauai. I would hope so. At any rate, I'll let you go. I'm done with my rant. Thanks a lot. Aloha.
Aloha. Yes. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yeah, aloha. Felicia, I wanted to ask a question.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
You know, this group organization called Kauai Agribusiness get to control all the water after the plantations closed in the 1990s. If anybody knows, all that water is owned by the people, by us. And how did those guys get first divvy on getting the water? And, you know, in this whole Bill 2491, nobody's really thinking about the water. And the water on the west side is, you know, water is life. So I just wanted to make that comment and find out if anybody knew how they got the side deal on the lease for these agribusiness. It's called Kauai Agribusiness. They're the guys that control the water.
Yeah.
And they're the same guys that control the cornfield stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, aloha.
Yeah, I went down to Oahu. While I was in Oahu, I went to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and I asked questions about the 7-member commission that sits on the board for the water trust. And I was told that
Agribusiness Development Corporation, the ADC,
has an agreement with the state, and I wanted to have them define whether they were a corporation or whether they were under the state, but they were given management rights. And when they gave those rights away to the seed companies, so the seed companies have never applied for water usage.
Wow.
They never had to justify usage. They never had to disclose what poisons they were using and whether they were returning the water into the system without it being polluted or contaminated in any way, because the Federal Clean Water Act says you cannot take clean water, pollute it, and
return
dump it in the ocean or wherever you're going to discharge. And if ADC is a corporation, then they're protected because they're private.
It is like the precursor to the Public Land Development Corporation. I was saying at that time that the ADC, the Agribusiness Development Corporation, in my opinion, is like Exhibit A of why we don't want to have the Public Land Development Corporation, because once they get a hold of the land, it's very, very difficult to be able to contain it. We have a couple calls holding. Do you have a comment?
Just you know, that if they were public, then they would have to disclose all of the leases, because I wanted to see the leases.
Yeah.
And then they told me, well, they never gave me a straight answer, but I was trying to get the leases so I can determine what exactly took place and whether they had the right to do it. And I was told I have to file a FOIA.
Freedom of Information Act? Yeah. And then they just
brush me off.
They brush you off. I got all these questions coming into me at one moment here, so I guess I lost my senses. Go ahead. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia and Clayton.
Hi.
I was listening a couple so weeks ago to the program Hawaiian Kai and Why. And a West Side Hawaiian gentleman called in, and he had researched this, and he knew all about, you know, the control of the water resources. And according to him, some corporate hui by the name of USB, United Bank of Switzerland, or UBS rather, actually has somehow the rights to divvy up the water to these five lovely seed companies. And so that's the mechanism that controls, and this has been a worldwide phenomenon. Corporations will go in and somehow by hook or crook or whatever, they will gain access to the water supply of the entire nation or the utilities, and then you're basically you lose control. But I personally, I'm so disgusted by almost every politician on this island that, you know, I don't know, I thought of the quote by Dr. Johnson, who said, the last refuge of a scoundrel is religion and politics. And I'm tending to think that's incredibly true. And I used to think like Joanne Yukimura was such an open-minded person, but now I just see that she's a lawyer. She's like for nothing. And so I mean, I've been here 30 years, and for the first time I'm thinking of leaving and maybe moving to Alaska, because I just cannot stand this pollution. And I think what we should do as a tactic is we should hit them where the money is. We should make our visitor friends aware of what they're being subjected to on their stay here on Kauai. We should hand out little flyers at the airport, wherever it's legal, in front of hotels or access to where all the tourists come, and let them know that besides getting your dose of a Hawaiian sun and all that, you're getting a dose of poison. So maybe the people who are making the big bucks on the island, they might put some leverage on these corporations that are ruining our lives here. And I think that it's gotten to the point where it's more than ridiculous. And I may be a cynic, but I personally believe that these people, these corporations, know the dangers of what they're doing, and that the general plan in the world is to reduce the world's population. So if a few 100,000 people get sick and die or whatever, no big deal. We have too many people anyway. So I mean, I just feel that they're willing to make the money and take the casualties for the people, because they don't care anyway. Anyway, aloha.
Aloha. He had a lot to say right in there, and I also had a person. I get people sending me information in a lot of different ways, and so in front of me I have a medical study that's coming out of Thailand, and it is on glyphosate, which is really Roundup. This is a pretty extensive study these are Thai places, but it says glyphosate induces human breast cancer cell growth via estrogen receptors. And there's a lot of detail in this particular medical study. I have another caller waiting. Aloha, you are on the air. Hello?
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Hi, I'm calling from Hawaii Island.
Oh, great.
And I just wanted to mention the Agriculture Development Corporation is the culprit. They're the precursor to the PLDC. They tried it with the ag land before they tried it with all the land. And the Agricultural Development Corporation, the State Agricultural Development Corporation, also needs to be repealed. Those contracts that they have can roll over into the DLNR. We don't need that corporation because they're the ones that are causing all the trouble.
So can you tell us
just wanted to mention that.
I want to know a little bit about Bill 113. So I saw that it got passed, but that was a first reading, right? That
right.
isn't... So correct me if I'm wrong, but a first reading just means the county council is willing to contemplate this. It doesn't mean that they've said yes.
Right. Just like your bill.
Yeah, we had a first reading in,
right.
in like June.
Right.
And so how can we help over here? How can we help you?
Well, you can, all of the video testimonies from your council video stream that were chopped up on the YouTube channel of
mm-hmm.
Christie's, you can send in your video testimony, and that doesn't take away from our meeting, but they still get the testimony and still can see your video testimony. And there's on the county council website for sending testimony, there's an address there. I think you might even have it that you can pass around to let people know what the address is to send in their videos. If they want to make a new video, they can do that too.
So what's the email?
They can also use the ones that they've already done.
What's the email address that people could send it to?
At the county? Oh, let me look real quick.
Ours says council at kauai.gov.
Well, no, a video one is different.
Okay, well, what would
Let's
it be?
See. It is.
And your bill is much more intensive than ours. Ours is just saying, tell us what you're spraying. And yours is like, don't come here.
Right. Ours has some problems, but they're problems that can be worked out in an ad hoc committee down the road, quickly down the road. And another bill can be written to specifically look at the corn and floral, stuff like that, or other cattle feed. But right now, we're just mainly trying to concentrate on getting the bill passed because there's three people on the council that could bolt if the bill gets any stronger and these exemptions are taken out. Then the bill will die.
So did you find the address?
Yeah. Hang on.
And we have a council seat open now, so we'll be talking about that in
right.
a moment also. Yeah.
Well, Hawaii Island, you guys don't want these companies to go over there.
No.
That's for sure.
No. We watch you guys. We know.
Yeah, you guys not going to like these guys.
No. Not going to happen.
Contamination.
Because the council's ready to vote yes on the bill that we have right now. But if they try to make the bill any stronger by taking out the two emergency exemptions, then the bill will die. Three of our council members will bolt. And then we won't have a veto-proof majority. We won't even have enough to pass the bill, and then it'll die. So let's see.
Well, I speak to all you guys council members. Stand strong. Because
yep.
you guys don't want these guys to come over there.
They know. They're mostly all in favor of it. We have two people that absolutely don't want the bill. But there's three fence sitters and four yes votes. So we need two more votes. So that's why we can't make the bill stronger right now, or we'll lose the three votes that are sitting on the fence. Is that,
well, best of luck for you.
Yep, it sure does. But it leaves open the possibility to deal with the 300 acres of corn that are already here later, and sooner than later.
So
actually.
you have one field that's already there?
Yeah, well, it's actually three fields. I'm not sure what the acreage is, but it's 300 acres total for one cattle farm. That's what he feeds his cows. And
okay.
he's even amenable to looking at non-GMO corn to feed his cows.
Good. Okay. Well, did you find your address? Otherwise, I got other callers waiting.
Okay. I just wanted to make a point that the State Agricultural Development Corporation needs to be repealed because they're the culprits causing all of this trouble. Thanks.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the water.
Okay.
On the west side. Since the sugar shutdown, the amount of water needed by agriculture decreased substantially. So, two things are being done right now. Some water is being dumped at the dam on Kawaikinana Stream, which we call Camp 6. This is on the way into Sugi Grove. This water simply flows down Kawaikinana and joins Pomau River, and then it ends up in the Waimea River. But right now, the majority of the excess water is being dumped into Kauhau Valley. Now, Kauhau Valley is, I think, the first major valley on the Napali coast.
Mm.
When you
from the west side, from Polihali.
Yeah, when you go from Polihali and you walk along the rocks, you go walking in the direction of Kalalau, and you walk along the rocks for a long way, and then you're gonna come. I think the first valley you come to is Kauhau Valley. Now, Kauhau Valley is normally a dry valley, and any water that flows in that valley only flows during the winter time with the big rains. But there is a ditch, part of the ditch system. There's a gate, and it's below the Hongwanji camp up in Koke. You have to go on a dirt road that services the Hongwanji camp, and then you right past the camp is a cabin, and then past the cabin there's a trail. So here's what's happening, because a lot of people have been complaining about the fact that Waipo Falls no longer has water coming down the falls. Now here's what's happening. To drive from the pavement to the trail by Hongwanji is approximately a 30-second drive, and then to walk from the head of the trail to the gate, which controls the dump into Kauhau Valley, is approximately a 1-minute walk. Now, if you wanted to open the gate on the stream that feeds Waipo Falls, which is Koke'e Stream, if you wanted to open that gate and dump the water there instead of dumping it into Kauhau, you would have to drive approximately 1.5 miles or more on a bad dirt road, not a bad dirt road, but a jeep road. You would have to drive 1.5 miles to the trailhead, and then you would have to walk from the trailhead to the gate for between 5 and 10 minutes. And that's the reason the water is not being dumped where it can flow over the falls. It's the simple mathematics of the amount of time it takes a person to go the extra, literally to go the extra mile, to control the flow of the water. It is infinitely easier to simply go to the Kauhau gate and open it up and dump the water over there, which just flows into the ocean and does no one or anything any good, except maybe some goats down in the valley.
Okay, so I am getting lost a little bit. It's a little bit of detail when I can't visualize these places. So
okay.
The main point is
that the reason the water is not flowing over the falls is because it just takes too much time and effort to control the gate.
Oh, because they got to go walk.
They got to drive 1.5 miles, and they got to walk for 10 minutes.
Ah.
So it just simply takes, it's too much effort.
Ah.
The easy thing to do is to drive for 30 seconds, walk for 1 minute, and open the Kauhau gate. So they're dumping water that should be flowing in the Waimea River if they're not using it.
Okay, because I've seen how the river is so dried up there. Like,
well,
we're swinging
bridges. Yeah, remember too that we have been in a bit of a drought for quite some time, although the rains are starting to come back. But so that has an effect on the on what you see during the summer months. Still, if they were opening the Coke Stream Gate instead of the Cowhow Gate, then we would have a visual waterfall, and water would much more water would be flowing in the Waimea River all the way down.
So this is actually really important, and it's out of my area of expertise, but it seems like if what you're saying is correct, I'm not doubting you, but I just don't know. These guys might know. Do you know, Wendell? No, they don't know for sure. But if what you're saying is right, can you put a letter to the editor on that and then also send it to the DLNR? Because then maybe they can fix that.
Well, I can imagine that there's people listening who are either part of the ADC or benefit from their actions, i.e. receive the water. On the west side, this is not rocket science. Most people on the west side know that ADC has the responsibility of maintaining the ditches.
I know that too.
Yeah.
But
so all it comes down to is the perceived excessive effort that it takes for somebody to control the one gate.
So if this is correct, again, not doubting you, but I can't say it is correct because I don't know. Write that, even don't sign it or something, but put it, you know, to the editor of the paper, write a letter to the editor, send something to the ADC, send something to the DLNR, send it. It's almost like your responsibility. Mm-hmm. If you see something that needs to be solved, and that's what we're seeing happening across this island and really throughout all of the islands, is we're basically crowdsourcing resources. And I know that, like, what I've seen just on this radio show, an incredible amount of really capable scientists that are just raising their hand, like the girl in the front of the class who knows all the answers. I know. They want to help us help solve this problem. And so if we can put the water back in that waterfall, if we can put the water back in the river, that's a really, really big contribution. And when it's made public, like putting it on the radio, is valuable. When it is put in writing, like I would also copy George Costa on it, when it gets copied to the world, change does happen. And you don't even have to put your name on it if you don't want to, but if what you're saying is right, I think somebody's going to make the extra effort to walk the extra mile.
Yeah, it used to be a lot different in previous times when the people who maintained the ditch really took pride in their job.
Well, let's just get that pride back there. I mean, people today are good people too, so let's just make sure they take that pride, but act on it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's primarily the reason why in the dry months you don't see water coming over Whitepool Falls.
And I'm getting texts from people saying he's right. And I've got other people going, yep, that's what's happening. So,
and the thing that bugs me is that this water, which could be used by taro farmers and others down in Waimea Town and in the Waimea Valley, this water is going into a completely different watershed that historically is a dry watershed. So they're doing a double insult by acting that way. Okay, well,
okay.
Thank you for the time.
All right, thank you. And this is the video testimony email address for the Big Island. I got Maui sent me this. It's called videotestimony@hawaiicounty.gov. I do have a caller waiting, but caller, you have to be patient a little bit longer because you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, and we are at the top of the hour. Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And I have a couple Big Island calls here. I think one is Maui and one is Hawaii Island. Maui, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Felicia. It's Anne from Maui. Thank you so much for all you do. And Clayton and Wendell, we stand with you. We stand behind you, and we'll be there till the end. Real quick, in touch with what Shannon was talking about earlier, to get your videos that Chrissy had done to the testimony for HawaiiGov. Then we want to go video testimony, one word, video testimony at HawaiiCounty.gov. So video testimony at HawaiiCounty.gov. And then make sure that you include Bill 113, date November 6th, and then send the URL YouTube link of the video. So it's really basic. If you have any problems, get back on one of the GMO free sites and ask Shannon, or any of us can help you with it. But let's get all those videos in. They need our testimony now as well, and all these islands will stand united. So thanks, Felicia. Love you guys.
Okay, thank you. And Anne, I want to acknowledge that you have been supporting all kinds of islands all over the place. And if I remember right, you're a special ed teacher working really hard on top of everything else.
Yeah. I think that we all have something to offer. We have something to bring to the table. So I was really, really honored to come to Kauai. I was super happy to have Chrissy here last week for our march and to talk to everybody. This is the perfect example of the water can't keep us apart. So we'll, as islands, we'll stand together. And Big Island, next week, we're on you guys.
Okay, so speaking of which, okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Big Island, your turn. Or Hawaii Island. You're
Aloha.
There. Aloha.
Hi. This is Merle. I have been working on Bill 113 with the GMO-free Hawaii Island group, and I just wanted to call in and congratulate the people over there in Kauai for a stupendous job in getting your 2491 passed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we applaud your activism over there, too. And is it correct you guys won on the fracking bill? Is that correct? You've got the no fracking?
Yes, uh-huh.
So that's big.
I wasn't following that particular bill, but I see that it's good.
I mean, you know, it's David, maybe three, Goliath. They've got an infinite number already. So, but we're making a little bit of progress.
We are. You know, we've been working on this bill for about 6 months since May. And in the beginning, the bill was really a fabulous bill. It just was no open-air cultivation of GMOs. And we have some corn growing at about 360 acres on the Hamakua coast in Pepekeo, Honomu, and O'okala, where the Big Island Dairy is located. And they're growing it to feed their cows. And the milk is sold here on this island. And about two hearings back, the corn, which had been sunsetted, which means they would have had, you know, a number of months to stop growing it and then replace it with another crop for fodder, that sunset was dropped from the bill. So now we have a bill where that corn can remain growing forever in their present locations on those 360 acres. And it passed the first reading last week, and November 6th is the next council hearing, I believe. And at the 11th hour, an emergency exemption was put in to the bill, and it was passed at our last full council hearing last week. So we have one more round, and the emergency exemption is really like a back door to the bill. The bill is to prohibit open-air cultivation. The bill allows the papaya, the GMO papaya, to grow, continue to grow, as long as they register and, you know, the county knows where their sites are, their growing sites are. But the exemption would allow anyone to apply to the council if they have a problem with their conventional crop. Say someone has a banana plantation and banana bungee top, you know, is attacking them. If there's a GMO remedy, after they've eliminated all other possible remedies, they can be allowed to grow GMO bananas. And that would be for a period of 5 years if they are successful in getting the application approved. And after the five-year period, it can come up for renewal. So, you know, it's kind of turns this bill around. And so we're in a predicament at this point. To go with the momentum that we've, got going, rolling on the bill, and accept it the way it is, or find some way to get the emergency exemption out. Our councilwoman says that it's possible for the corn to be taken care of, to be taken out of the bill because it contaminates, and they could take care of that, say, in an ad hoc committee, which she would oversee. So just wanted to call and let you guys know what's going on with the bill.
Well, it sounds, pretty similar to, what happens with all these bills is that they get pulled more towards a compromise. Like ours, even though ours is a significant win, I'm kind of asking the guys in the room here, maybe there was a little bit of a constraint. Like it sounds like across the street from their houses, maybe they've got 200 feet of extra buffer zone. But beyond that, their lives aren't going to change any with this bill at this point. They might be able to bring a copy of what's been poisoned when they can't breathe in the hospital. Maybe, Wendell, that's a big deal for you, right? If you can't breathe, then you can say, well, this is what was sprayed today. And then they could look to see if that's your sensitivity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was told that there is no test for pesticides.
Ah. And then, caller, hang on one second, too. I have another Akamai listener who did send me this email, who was hearing this. And so she said that there is a blood test for all chemicals and that Dr. Carrie Brennan of Kapaa can do it. And she happened to give this woman's number, which is 652-7581. So I haven't vetted that. But this is something that's, an Akamai listener put in. And she also said that there is a doctor on the west side who can also do the test as a girl. But she couldn't remember her name, but probably Dr. Carrie Brennan would also know that person's name.
Yeah, I've been to Dr. Brennan's office. And she has a lab on the East Coast that will do the test for $800 plus other fees.
Okay.
So it's
very expensive.
It's very expensive. And I don't have any information other than the price and that some lab can do it. But
okay. And then, caller, do you have anything else that you want to add? Thank you so much for calling in.
It's just the campaigning on these bills has brought thousands of people together, and that's a good thing.
And island to island.
Yeah, and it's very, I think it instills hope in people that, we can get these things done. So thank you.
So thank you very much. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha. There are two things which should be considered in all this. One is the cavalier attitude of Mr. Case, who owns the land that's being leased. And a quote from one of the articles recently said, the GMO stuff is better than growing weeds. Perhaps somebody should enlighten him about that. And the second thing, and also Mr. Robinson, I think, should be questioned about his motivations in these matters, because they are the ones at the root of the evil, so to speak. That's it for now. Thank you.
Okay.
Aloha.
Thank you. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Wendell, Clayton, this is Pat. Thanks for being there. Uh-huh. We appreciate you guys representing us, Waimea people. But I'm just calling to show my gratitude to the two of you and also to say that in 2007 I was really ill. And so I went to the doctor. They couldn't help me. I got sick. I went to naturopaths. I spent a lot of money. And then one of my doctors then told me he really felt that it was something environmental. we live in the area between Syngenta and Pioneer in Waimea. So when I got ill, I called Syngenta. The gal that answered the phone was a former student of mine, so she gave me the spray schedule. And during those days, we closed our doors and our windows, and this was in 2007. But it didn't really help. Then I had grandchildren who stayed with us for a while, and my grandson had bad respiratory problems. He had his adenoids removed, and, you know, we still worry about him today. He's already in the sixth grade, but we still have to worry because of certain behaviors and stuff. The thing is that we have been struggling for years now, and I wish the mayor would come to talk with us here in Waimea, because he said he's done a lot of, you know, talking to people, but I have never, ever talked to him, or I don't think he's ever been to Waimea to really speak to us.
Have you tried to speak to him?
Not really, but I am so sure that he knows that we have a problem. We've had so many speakers here come to Waimea about the problem. We've had scientists. We have had, I don't know, I cannot even count the number of people who have been here to kind of get us up to speed and get us akamai about what's going on. And I know he knows that we're struggling. You know, so I wish he would come and personally talk to us. I guess we should invite him, and maybe that would be really good.
Yes, how about we invite him right now on this, on the radio?
Okay, go ahead, yeah. Clayton. You're my hero.
You know, well, I don't know about that word, hero.
Okay.
To the mayor's office, get three Waimea people on this line right now that we are asking. Now, I know he's not here. He's on Oahu.
Oh.
So, if you guys listening at the mayor's office, we asking you guys now that we want a meeting with the mayor of Kauai. That we had put him in office. That he never put himself. We had put him in office. So, go ahead, Wendell.
Oh, just to let you guys know, too, that 2 years ago, I wrote to Joanne to help us. And at the time, I never really heard back from her. You know, I never heard back from her. But so people need to know that this has been going on for a while now. It's not just last month. Yeah. And for Clayton, you too, for 13 years now. So, okay. Thank you very much. And can I hang up now?
In 1 second, I want to tell you something.
Uh-huh.
And really for anybody on the island, really on either side of these issues, but this Thursday, I'm going at 7:30 at Duke's. The Lihui Business Association is having a meeting where it's an open dialogue with Dee Morikawa, Derek Kawakami, Ron Kochi, and Jimmy Tokioka. And for me, honestly, even though all these individuals might be nice people, they've been missing in action on this issue, and the state legislature guaranteed they're going to kind of try and come in on this and take away the power of the county to do this, just like they tried last year. So it's very, very important that people come and let them know we want home rule, that it takes assertiveness, and that's why this issue seems everybody blames us with the H word for be pushing this issue. But I'm really glad to have the West Side calling in, because it is even more your issue than you know, the East and the North Shore. And I find that the county government is trying to say, oh, it's just the newcomers making humbug.
Oh boy.
And it isn't, you know, but we really need the West Side to show up and say how they feel to these these legislators, because they're going to try and do an end run around what's happening here. That's my fear.
Do you really believe that Dee and Ron and Derek would actually do that?
Well, I mean, that's happened in the past, right? They voted for the PLDC. We had to change that. It's what I'm seeing is what I call followship instead of leadership.
Oh.
You know,
Mrs.
like...
Nita.
Yes.
You sound like you're just speechless right now, eh?
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that they could actually do that to...
But you gotta remember...
Who, you know, we grew up when they were little children, yeah. And, you know...
I'm not saying it, but...
We're old folks.
You know, anything is possible, right?
No, it's... Anything is possible at this point.
Well, they just need to know that this is really important, and they need to know really strongly if this is West Side folks that are worried about their health, that's who they're going to care to hear from a lot more than people who don't live in the impact zone. So this Thursday is a time to be able to go talk story with them and let them know that it matters.
I think they really know, because we've spoken and written to them about all of this. And if they don't know from our contact with them, then something's not right.
Well, when they talk to those of us from this side, they say, oh, this is only you. They'd say, this isn't the West Side. This is you guys making humbug. And... you know, that, and I respect the fact that the West Side and the South Side, where people are in the impact zone and the people who are working there, it is their issue more. And so, anyway, that's an opportunity for people to bring out their knowledge. And so anybody who is interested in going... That's something that is there, and that's...
Yeah, thanks for the info.
Yeah.
I guess I'll see you there, then.
Who, me?
Yes.
I have something planned already, but, well...
No worries.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, heavy things. Nadine's seat is opening up. What do you guys think about that? Nadine Nakamura, who is going to be replacing Gary Hugh for Mayor Bernard. Any opinions?
No comment.
So
I guess it's like, what a coincidence, yeah?
Well, Gary's been leaving. But that's a seat that's coming up. I did learn that how they replace that seat, how they do an appointment, is it takes four of the remaining council members to vote. So very often it goes to somebody who has been on the council before, or maybe somebody who has run and didn't get quite enough votes. But really it is up to the four to decide whoever it is. So it can be anybody that wants to do it. We have another caller. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. This is Kendall calling from Kekaha. And I just wanted to also thank Wendell and Clayton for their time and their commitment. And they've been such an inspiration and driving force. I have three children, one with chronic nosebleeds since the time he was little. And two daughters with asthma. And we have no history of asthma in my family. And we've been told by numerous people it's environmental. So, and it has been going on for a long time.
I'm sorry. And have you always lived in Kekaha since your children were born?
Yes, I've been here for over 20 years.
And then if you take them somewhere else, like on vacation... Does the problem persist, or does it lighten up?
We never have any asthma problems when we leave Kauai.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm glad that you don't when you leave, but I'm sorry that you're that you're dealing with that.
Yeah.
I know how that goes.
Yeah, you do, Wendell.
Yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate you gentlemen very much, and been nice to meet you, and looks like we still have some work to do.
Right on. Thank you for calling.
You bet.
That's why we gotta do.
Aloha, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Felicia. This is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Wendell.
Hey,
hey Kendall. So, small out here, but I had a question. Whatever happened with the district representation?
With the council, the county council? Well, that is something being reviewed by the Charter Commission, and so that hasn't, that decision hasn't been made yet. I don't know if it goes before a referendum and becomes a ballot initiative, which is often what does happen. The charter is like the constitution for the county, and the argument against it is that the island is 70,000 people, and which isn't such a large amount to begin with. When you have districts, I believe it would be five districts and then two open, so everybody around the island would be voting for the two open positions, and then there would probably be one from each moku, is my guess. There's five moku on the island. I don't know exactly how they do it, but the decision hasn't been made yet.
Okay.
Do you have a position on that?
I would like to see district representation. We don't get any out here, as you've become aware of over the last couple of years, and or very little, and then we get the comments that, oh, this is an East Side North Shore issue, all that stuff. But I just like to say thank you to everyone in the last 6 months, especially out on this side, who has gotten involved, like Kendall. And these are all people with kids. They're busy. They don't want to waste their days doing this, but it's got to be done. And I do agree with you, Felicia, that these guys are going to do an end run around us. It's just, that's what they do. I have no expectations of them to support us. They're going to support industry, as always. And it's just disheartening. I'm really, really proud of the island for what they've done. But I'm not trying to bash anyone. It's not enough. And I want to know, how do we take it to that next level? Let's get these guys out of here. I don't know anyone who wants them unless they worked here, you know. And I really don't. You know, I've been talking to people for this for years. I haven't never heard one person out here in favor of them unless they work there. And I'm just over it. You know, it's to the point where people are going to have to take it in their own hands. I mean, when you allow chemical companies to come over here and build all these accesses on ag land for commercial and industrial use, they're not required to have left-hand turns lane. The second someone dies there, I want everybody to sue that company. I'm over it. They load trucks on the side of the road, even after the council meeting, you know, where they're saying, oh, we do these good tilling practices and stuff. I drive by and there's dust going 45 feet in the air behind a tractor, you know. It's just insane. What they say and what they do are totally different. They're liars. I have no faith in them. I do have a little bit of faith restored in our government, our local government. Not all. But I just, you know, a year ago, no one would even talk to me about this. No one would answer my emails, and look where we've gotten. So I hate to be negative about it, but don't give up, people. You're going to come back, and they're going to try and take it away.
And Tracy, like when I was saying they, meaning the legislature, I was actually meaning it in that collective they, you know, that the whole legislature. I wasn't necessarily calling out any one of our people, but it seems like what we'll see when we, it's hard to even imagine that there isn't more voice in support of these very, very modest requests, like labeling, you know, or it's not saying don't do it. It's just saying own it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's so amazing. And so when it's manipulated, and the advertisements on Hawaii Island are almost verbatim the exact same ads that they were putting over here about saving the farms. Nobody's taking their farms away. They're just saying, own what you do. If they're not doing something bad, what's the loss? In a few minutes, I've got another call holding, but we'll take the other call, and then I'm going to play the vice president of Hawaii Crop and Seed Initiatives, a statement on why they so desperately don't want to do this. But I want to also acknowledge, Tracy, that on your street, there have been many fatalities, right? You've had cancer fatalities, I believe, 4 on your street?
Probably so, yeah.
And then you're doing better, though, right? You're in recovery?
Yeah, my cancer's gone. I'll never have my insides back, but, you know, I just don't want it to see it happening to the kids. This is going to hit them in their 20s and 30s.
Your own children.
It's wrong. All the kids out here.
And you, like Wendell, can't sell your house.
I could sell it, but where am I going to go?
Because you would sell it for cheap.
Well, our values are going so down out here while everything else goes up. I mean, rents on the rest of the island are going through the roof. Property values are climbing again, except out here. And I don't know one thing to blame it on other than the GMOs. I really don't. There's no other reason. The word's out. You know, when I started this, they said, you've got to make it public. You've got to make it public. Because I didn't have the money to just sue. So it's public now. And these guys don't want to disclose. They don't want to tell us anything because they're guilty. When you're spraying 100 times of registered and unregistered, 100 tons a year, okay, 100 tons, at what point is that considered a war zone? I'd like the guy from Hyena, the chemical and nuclear weapons expert who's retired up there to call and comment on that. 100 tons of pesticide on probably a quarter of the island, that's a war zone. And anyway, I'll let you guys go. Thank you. Aloha. And maybe I'll see you Thursday.
Okay, and it's nice to hear from you.
Bless you guys.
Bless you. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Tracy. I really love you a lot. I'm glad you're feeling better. And you've got a great audience in your studio right now, Felicia. You know, when I was in the Mana March, you know, if that was back in, like, California in the 60s, everybody would have been going, look at all those hippies, right? You know, and the one thing that has been a blessing about this GMO poisoning of Kauai is that Haoles, Hawaiians, locals that have lived here for all their lives, for 10 years, for 40 years, for 1 year, 6 months, who don't even live here, you know, they've all come together as one people, because health and well-being doesn't segregate whether you're Hawaiian or Filipino or Chinese or African. We all get sick. These poisons don't distinguish between race, color, religion, or anything like that, culture. They attack the biological, the nervous system of the human body, right? And I'm really proud of the unity that this is between, and I don't mind using the word Haole, you know, between Haoles and local Hawaiians. It's been an incredible thing. But the one thing that a couple of the last callers have inferred, and I agree, is that when this first started, and this is from the culture of Hawaii since the 70s, because I don't know exactly why, but, you know, a lot of Hawaiians just had this impression of hippies, they're dirty, they're lazy. You know, they had a lot of contempt for them. You know, they were against the Vietnam War. They were rebel rousers, you know, et cetera, et cetera. When in fact, you know, an awful lot of those hippies in the 60s were just wonderful, bright, brilliant kids, you know, that cared about the earth and the planet, and they wanted to go natural. And they couldn't stand the controls of the federal government, you know. And it's so straight people, you know, on the mainland, they turned, they go, oh, you hippies and this and that, right, you know, and they condemned them for smoking pot.
And your point?
What?
And your point is?
Well, my point is what the lady who was just on the phone from Waimea, she can't believe that these local guys that are involved in the legislature and the politics, the little kids that she watched grow up, could even think of not supporting the bill or letting this poisoning continue. And like I say, when this first started over a year ago, and for you, Clayton, you know, 13 years ago, you know, a lot of people, most especially a year or so ago, they thought, oh, look, this is just a bunch, you said it yourself, Felicia, oh, this is just a bunch of rebellious howlies from the North Shore, like ex-hippies or this and that, you know, who like organic food and they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay,
you know, and so all I'm saying is that Hawaii has to accept responsibility for this kind of this derogatory feeling that a lot of Hawaiian kids that still grow up today thinking this, that hippies, oh, they're dirty.
No, we know that this is not. We know that this is not just a North Shore movement.
That's right. It's not. It's about the quality of health. And the bottom line is you don't have to live in Hawaii all your life to love the nature of the earth, which Hawaii is a part of, you know.
So, thank
Clayton,
you.
As you know just as well as anybody, you know, alone you can't do anything, but together you can do a lot. And this movement has created such unity between Howleys and Hawaiians. I am so proud of it, you know, even though, like I say, one reason why these people
you're getting your point across, and I've got other people holding. I get
it. Okay. Well, let me say one last thing, okay? It's really hard for some of these people that lady was referring to, these young legislators or these young now politicians, because they grew up with this idea that, oh, hippies, they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what they're talking about, and it's very hard for them to get that out of their mind because it was their upbringing. And
okay.
They still think that's what it's about.
I get it. I think you've made your point strongly.
Thank you.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, and I have another caller on the air. Aloha, you're on
Felicia.
The air. Hi.
You know, I listen to your show a lot, and with you bringing in the West Side guys, it makes it so legit. And I'm proud of them for standing up. And man, I mean, we gotta get control of this, and we will, as an island, we will take control. But the reason I called is, and I know everybody's tired of hearing this, but man, I am so sick of having three nights in a row of jazz. And then after three nights in a row of jazz, even on Friday night, this B-Box time machine guy, I tell you, sis, I was ready to go down the studio and give him some B-Boxes himself.
Okay, well, thank you.
You know,
and we have Matt, who's bringing the jazz on tonight.
Let me speak a little bit.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Well,
is it okay?
Make it quick.
I'm not swearing.
You're not being nice, but go on.
This is supposed to be Kauai Community Radio. And, like, today, when you have a topic of people losing their homes and, you know, some serious issues, what's going to be followed with it? Jazz. And jazz is fine. I mean, but imagine, you know, someone like me that didn't like jazz, you had gangster rap three nights in a row.
Well, you got,
you know what I mean? Just, you guys really need to, I don't know, talk to Dean or whoever it is.
Okay, we've got the jazz programmer on listening right now.
I went to the community advisory board meeting. Me and this Hawaiian guy were the only ones that were even there.
Okay,
so,
well, Matt's
either
here.
Not too many people are listening, or all you guys love the jazz.
Yeah, a lot
That's
of people
all I got
love
to
jazz.
Say.
Okay. Hey, Matt, you're going to come on with jazz.
I love the jazz.
Yeah, and my son, I believe, played at your wedding.
I believe he did.
And him and the band all raided my wardrobe for overalls, and that's how, like, you walked in your overalls.
But you knew me right away. You didn't even have to remember my face.
And so,
might be the only jazz DJ who wears overalls to his program. But
and with a beard and a touch of Nashville.
Yeah. I'll try to keep some community issues alive during the show as well, if the previous caller really wants me to keep it rolling. I, you know, the traffic is terrible sometimes. I'm going to talk about that quite a bit. And no,
right,
just jazz.
Okay. All right. Aloha, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you're
yes,
on the air.
Hello, this is Scott calling from California.
So what's up?
Can you hear? Oh, hey. Yeah, just listening. I was on the live stream last week, listening to It All Fall Together, and 3:30, it was 6:30 in the morning here. And I've been researching GMOs and pesticides for over 10 years now, and just stay strong, Kauai. This is the biggest battle on the planet right now, and it's going to bring everyone together, and just keep the faith, because this is the big one. This is way bigger than a lot of people realize. And people are waking up each day to finding out new information and educating themselves. And thank you, Felicia, for holding the fort and opening the space for dialogue and all the work that you do. A lot of people on the island know who you are, and there's other people coming up and speaking out. And don't be afraid, because God has our back. Source and spirit, whatever you want to call it, has our back on this 100%. And Kauai is going to, mark my words, is going to go down in history for being the island or the county that set the new standard for a better planet for our future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, I'll see you guys soon.
Okay.
Aloha.
Aloha. KKCR, you're on the air.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'll call up. You know what? I love jazz. I can listen to him 24 hours a day. You like, with a little bit Pink Floyd inside.
Okay, Little Pink Floyd in the jazz,
Oh yeah, you know I love jazz, you know what? Because I'm a jazz player myself. And the thing is, if you don't like listening, don't turn on the radio. You know, turn to something else.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can listen 24 hours a day if you want to.
24 hours a day jazz. I'm saying it out loud so our programmer hears that. So we appreciate your support, and this is Kauai Community Radio, so we have all different kinds of music, all different kinds of shows.
You play Dave Brubeck five times a day, you like.
Dave Brubeck? Okay, I'll pass that one on, too.
Yes, I don't think.
Oh, my gosh. He happens to have the album. It's a regular vinyl album, the Dave Brubeck Quartet. Time out, take five is what it's called.
No, that's the other guy. Time out. He's doing another station.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Aloha. You're on the air.
Aloha. It's me, Christy.
Hi, Christy. I was wanting to play this thing you queued up for me. Thank you. So,
okay, well, before you play, I just want to make a challenge to the mayor and pretty much any county council member who is going to veto and not give disclosure. We should have, MTV is here right now, and they are doing a real world. But the real world is actually in Waimea. So let's have a house swap challenge where the mayor goes and lives in Wendell's house, and Wendell gets to go live in the mayor's house
anytime
for the next 9 months.
That's a good one.
What do you think about that?
He said anytime, and you know what? Well, maybe have these people who run those places live in Wendell's house.
Yeah. How about Cindy Goldstein? She lives in Poipu, or Renee Kester with her maid. She lives in Poipu. Let them go live in Wendell's house, and let Wendell go live in Poipu for a little while and see how it is. That's the only comment I wanted to make. And yes, please play Kirby. Video.
Okay. All right.
Aloha.
You got a good point there, Christy.
Thank you, Clayton.
To the max. Aloha.
Okay, we got one more caller, and then I'm going to play Kirby. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. It's Ian from Australia. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Felicia, I just want to tell you that you've got a lot of listeners down here, and we love your jazz. We love your blues. You love your rocks. We love the Zydeco, the swamp that he plays. And we just love what you're doing for your island.
Well, we're glad that Australia loves the blues and the jazz and the rock.
It's such a good radio station because I listen to it all the time, and you got different, you got Hawaiian music, and we don't have stations like that down here. I just wanted to thank you for the good work you've done and for your radio station.
Thank you so much.
No worries, and I'll probably see you next year.
I hope so.
Actually, I will see you next year.
Right on. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Aloha, you're on the air?
Yes, aloha.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to address an issue that has been coming up, I know, since the first marches and since the bill was introduced, and that there's been a lot of accusations of violence on part of the anti-GMOers. It's been circulating through Facebook. I've heard it in different discussions all around the island. And I think it should be noted that the founders of this march and the founders of this bill have done nothing but demonstrate that we're nothing but peaceful warriors, and we're very concerned for our community and our environment. So that's all I wanted to touch base on, that let it be known to those that are listening that this is not a movement of anger or violence. And that's it. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha. It's actually really been a movement of love, I think. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. Huh? This is Lorna Poi calling from the west side of Kauai.
Hi.
Hi, good evening. Aloha, Clayton, Brother Wendell. Thank you for being there. Felicia, I'm just calling because there has been such a misconception about west siders and no one on the west side being pro-bill. And, you know, as I said in my testimony in front of the council, there are hundreds of us on the west side that support Bill 2491, and we look forward to it being passed by the mayor. Hundreds of us, and we wish to keep the peace with our neighbors. We love people who work for the seed companies. We honor them, and we want to keep the peace. They're our neighbors, they're our families, they're our friends, and that's the way it is on the west side. There's lots of aloha, and we consider each other. So people who think that misconception of it being a North Shore bill, or that there are mostly North Shore people that are protesting to have this bill passed, they are entirely wrong. And that's all I need to say.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And I know that, like, on this show, I didn't bring it up very much at all until I started hearing from the west side a lot. And then I've lived here almost 30 years, and I realize I hardly ever knew anybody on the west side. And since this has come up, I've met all these beautiful people from that side, and it really feels like one island now. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. You have a good evening.
You too.
Aloha.
You're on the air.
I bet the mayor's over talking with Governor Abercrombie right now.
Yeah, I bet so.
Abercrombie's telling him exactly what to do.
Okay. Hey, you know what? I'm going to have to pod you down because I've got all these other people holding.
Okay, well, I'll just say it one more time again, because even though you're shy about it, I picked up this on the radio because you say you know, even your kids are calling you a hippie.
Right, and right. Like, so thank you.
There's nothing wrong with hippies.
That's right.
Yeah, have a good night.
That's
a fallacy. It's not just about Kauai. Like,
you're on the air.
Thank you very much, Felicia. I really appreciate this show, and you and I so have. My heart was warmed by all the West Siders calling. I just had a quick story, fairly related to the issue. We have to take time to always honor how many good things are being done by how many amazingly wonderful people. And I was just called. Is that me? Am I still on the air?
You're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, it just sounds so quiet. I got a call a couple months ago by a young man born right here on Kauai who was just telling me, Dad, I got accepted at Berkeley. I got a scholarship and I got a grant to come to Kauai and research the GMO issues. In fact, they're going to pay me to come back here. And I said, dude, I'm going to hook you up with everybody. And so I was just so excited that someone born on Kauai was going to dedicate his life to sustainability and do something like this. Unfortunately, 6 weeks ago, someone turned in front of his motorcycle and locked A.S. Guy Smith.
Yeah.
23 years old. If anybody want to help remember one of our wonderful warriors, Saturday morning at Black Pot at 10 o'clock, we're going to celebrate Lock Ass guy.
Okay, I didn't know that's when the service was. It's been almost a month since he passed. We played some music for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Everybody can do that kind of good thing. I mean, that's what we need to honor, the goodness. Someone, we really got so much hope. There are so many wonderfully amazing and infinite people that are on our team supporting us, and we're going to do this. No matter how many times we get tripped up, we're going to make it to this finish line, and it's going to be, the effects are going to be way beyond keeping the island healthy from GMOs. Is going to be unifying for the planet in really amazing ways. So just keep up the good work, everybody. It's been pretty amazing. Thank you, Felicia.
Okay, thank you. And prayers out there for La'a's.
La'akea.
Yep, La'akea's family. And I know that, you know, they're handling it as well as anybody can. I just don't know how well you can handle the loss of a child, but thank you.
Life will never be the same, but you have to make it better. My new bumper sticker is, "What would Sky do?" That was his middle name.
Yeah.
He was such an honorable person. If you made the choices that he made, you'd always be okay. So it's my new benchmark for decision making.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you.
All right, thanks, everybody. Keep up the good fight. We're on the right team. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I just, you know, I was listening to the county council meeting when we were all there, you know, testifying at the last meeting. And, you know, I do think this has really brought our community together. However, when I was listening to the people from Syngenta, her name was Susan, who had only been with Syngenta for a couple months, she was saying they were getting death threats and how this was so divisive. And it just really, I guess it still bothers me that I just felt like she was lying. There were some things that she said in her testimony that were not true. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, I know the mayor's not listening, and I did get a chance to talk with him last week on the radio. You know, I just hope that we somehow can not only get this bill passed, but move forward. And I don't know what it's going to take to get these GMO companies to leave our island, and that we can start growing something more sustainable and being a model for the world and growing, like you've talked about so many times, industrial hemp or, you know, other food products that we can actually eat. So I'm hoping that maybe we can move forward in that direction. And, you know, I'm really proud of the Hawaii Island that they are not allowing GMO companies over there. Is that what I understood?
Well, that's what their Bill 113 is about. They're trying to block it ahead of time. And I saw Nomi, that's the Babes Against Biotech, her testimony, and she said, look at what Kauai is going through, just begging and spending the night out in the rain and, you know, just this relentless marching just to be told the truth, just to be told what is being sprayed, not even stopping them. So, you know, yeah, they're trying their best because they don't want to have no...
So the only thing right now they have is the GMO papayas, I believe, is what.
Right, and 300 acres of corn.
Okay, 300 acres of corn. Okay. Do people eat that corn, or is it just the...
Cows. Cows eat the corn.
Cows. Oh, gosh. Poor cows.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
okay.
Anyway, you always have such a great show. I love you so much. I really
Thank
need
you.
To take you out to dinner soon.
Yeah.
And, spend some time with you and remind everybody that there's some really good films coming up. This film festival this weekend, starting at Waimea and also at the St. Regis Hotel and at Kukui Grove. There's a film festival. One of them is about plastic in the Pacific Ocean. It looks really good, as well as some other films.
There's one called, I think it's called Hope, and it's about fish, too. And a lot of it focuses
right.
on
That's
the west side with the fishermen.
Right, right. That looks really good, too. So everyone, get out there. Enjoy that film festival. It's so amazing, the film shorts that they have for us to be able to enjoy. Much aloha to everybody, your panel. And one other thing, Dustin Barca is being honored at the 43rd Annual Surfer Pole Awards for being an advocate of change. He'll be receiving an award, and that will be live
December 6th. You can watch it on Channel 1250, I believe, and it should be pretty exciting.
Let's have a party. He deserves it.
Yeah, let's have a party and watch it. That'd be good.
Yep. Okay. Wonderful.
Aloha. Bye.
Bye.
I just wanted to comment on some of the death threats. Well, some of us have experienced our computers being hacked, cell phones being hacked. Personally, my cell phone was hacked and almost lost all my contacts. My wife's phone was hacked, and she took it into Oahu, and AT&T in Honolulu told her, your phone has been hacked.
Wow.
All her contacts disappeared. My computer, both of our PCs have been hacked. I tried to find my emails and my groups, especially just the like Earth Justice and Kauai Rising and the lawsuit group. Everything disappeared from my computer, and my wife couldn't receive my emails. So I use my iPad, and they cannot. It seems like they can't hack the Apple.
Right,
so
it's harder.
When I went to Apple, all of my stuff was there, but on my computer, it was gone.
Mm.
Eventually, it did come back, but.
And do you think this was because you're part of the lawsuit?
You know, I don't know. It's just something, you know, and other people have been hacked. Their phones have been hacked. Their computers have been hacked. Their emails have been hacked on some of the groups on the island. So it's not only one-sided.
Right. I know when you see how much security is being hired, somebody's afraid. I don't think that we're going to have time to play the recording that somebody so nicely loaded up for me, because I got a lot of callers coming in. I've got two calls. Then we're going to have the county council report. The history of jazz is coming up with Matt instead of Kirk. But what was said there was the essence of the testimony was the reason that they don't want this to be passed. He was asked by Gary Hooser, when you're going to do this voluntarily for the state, what's the big deal about doing it with this county council bill? And that's because it will set a precedent. When one county tells them they have to share their information, the fear is that elsewhere they'll have to tell also. And kind of across the planet, like Mexico just banned them. America is sort of their holdout for where they can have free reign. We have two more callers. I'm going to bring you on the air, but before you even come on, I'm letting you know that you don't have much time at all, and then we won't have time for more. Aloha, you're on the air.
As quick as possible. It was nice juxtaposition between the privacy invasion of Wendell and what I want to ask. I don't know if all of YMA is under dust or if kind of different areas of it are, so I'm wondering if he's talking about by the swinging bridge to Big Save part or the beach part or over by KVMH or where about is he talking about? Where does the dust come in and where does he live about?
Well, I live on Alawai Road, and it's right off the cliff from DuPont Pioneer. And when the wind blows, it's my understanding they're not supposed to spray or be doing a whole bunch of work when the wind is greater than 6 miles an hour, but it's blowing 15.
Okay, thank
almost
you.
Every day, so it goes all over the valley, all over Waimea. Can't stop it.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. I don't know if anybody's brought this up yet or not, Felicia, about the KIUC decision to apply to the PUC, Public Utilities Commission.
It hasn't come up on this show, so try and address that quickly in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, there's a rather long explanation as to why I'm calling, but the most important thing is that the next KIUC board meeting will be Tuesday, October 29th. That's a week from today at 12:30 p.m. at the KIUC building. what I would like your listeners to do is try to attend this meeting. And if they cannot attend the meeting and they feel so inclined, to please write testimony to them or come to the meeting about their rejection of any fee associated with changing their meters over from a smart meter to an older once used meter, and for the $10.27 a month surcharge for those of us who are refusing a smart meter for all kinds of reasons. That adds up to a whole lot of money for the people who have chosen not to have a smart meter. Whereas the KIUC, which is a co-op, has never put this up for either a vote by the membership, or they refuse to let anybody know about their meeting that happened on September 27th. Or no, that's when the PUC told them that they had to combine the two applications, and a special meeting was called for October 1st with only a 24-hour notice and only notification to the board members and a notice on the front door of KIUC. None of us members were notified, and I have been going to meetings since 2010 mm-hmm. on this issue alone and the hydro issue. I have always been told at every single meeting by the chair and the CEO that as soon as the board was going to discuss it, I and anybody else would have plenty of input. However, that never happened.
So people can look at P2P, like power 2, the number 2, P, Kauai on Facebook, or P2P Kauai, www.p2pkauai. Those are two sites where you can get information. I posted the information you sent me on my Felicia page on Facebook and on about 7 or 8 other people's pages. I am going to have to make you go.
Yeah, okay. Well, on Thursday, I will give out a lot more information about this issue. So for any of your listeners, please listen to the Thursday show.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Aloha.
Aloha. And then something else, when I talked about that breast cancer piece, I guess a very important thing that I didn't bring up is that it's at parts per trillion. That was the new data that was sent to me by a doctor, that parts per trillion of glyphosate creates breast cancer. Guys, just 10 seconds each, just say goodbye.
I just wanted to share about CELDEF, which is the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund. And I attended a class called the Daniel Pennick Democracy School.
And I went too. Oh, yeah, you were there.
And, you know, the two Supreme Court decisions that they taught in the class is what the seed companies are standing on. And so if you want more information, Kauai Rising put together that class, which I attended, and Michael Schulz and Joan Porter and mm-hmm. Sandra Herndon, they have a lot more information about it. But I think it's more of a permanent solution to overturn the power and the position that the corporations have over we the people.
Yeah, that is really the jugular of the problem, is that corporations control the government to protect them from the people instead of people controlling the government to protect themselves from the corporations. And the government, the folks in there, most of them are somewhat the victims because they get elected into an office, and once they're in there, they realize, what? I can't do anything already because the laws are there.
Yeah.
Clayton?
Well, I'd like to thank everybody out there on Kauai, on the other islands, Big Island. You guys got to do you guys think to stop these companies from going over there, because it's not going to be a good thing. Seriously. And as for going down to Hanalei Pizza, I guess I'll see you guys there.
I'm going too. We're going to go
Mahalo.
Take Carlos up on his
Mahalo.
Offer. So you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea K284AL Hali'iwa. So exciting to be on Oahu now.